Since the arrival of Felipe Calderón to the presidency of Mexico, the war against indigenous communities and resistance in Chiapas has increased significantly, a war that, with few notable exceptions, has received no mainstream media attention. It is a war with many fronts of attack: military, judicial, paramilitary, and economic, with the involvement of the federal and state governments, the army, the police, a number of paramilitary groups, and large enterprise. In this context, this past July 28, arrived in Chiapas a national and international caravan in solidarity with Zapatista communities, with the participation of hundreds of activists from Mexico, Argentina, Uruguay, Canada, the US, Spain, Basque Country, Italy, France, Greece, Belgium, Switzerland, and Denmark. The activists split up to visit several Zapatista communities in various regions to register not only the state of war, but also the resistance and the everyday construction of autonomy. This last Friday, at the Caracol of La Garrucha, Subcomandante Marcos and Teniente Coronel Moisés talked with the activists.
Queremos agradecerles que hayan venido hasta acá a conocer directamente lo que está sucediendo con el proceso zapatista.
We want to thank you for coming here to see firsthand what's happening with the Zapatista process. I want to tell you briefly the history of the EZLN and the Zapatista communities. How did everything start? 24 years ago, a small urban group arrived not in this part of the jungle, but somewhere much deeper into it, in what today is known as the Montes Azules Natural Reserve.
Y la concepción de ese pequeño grupo era la tradicional de los movimientos de liberación.
And the vision of this small group was the traditional vision of Latin American liberation movements. In other words, a small group of illuminated people who take up arms against the government, and that makes a lot of people follow them. They rise up, they knock down the government, and a socialist government is set up.
Las cosas hubieran quedado ahí. Pasó algo que nos salvó en esos primeros años.
Things would have remained that way. But something happened that saved us during those first years. And what happened is sitting here on my left. It's Teniente Coronel Moisés, Comandante Macho, Comandante Ismael, and many other compañeros who transformed the EZLN from an orthodox army to an indigenous army. It's not just the fact that the EZLN is made up mostly of indigenous people, but that this army was defeated in its illuminated vision, whereby a group of men become the saviors of humanity.
Un hombre o un grupo de hombres se convierte en el salvador de la humanidad.
What happened is that the vision was defeated when we confronted the communities and we realized not only that they didn't understand us, but that their proposal was better.
Sino que su propuesta era mejor. Nos estábamos enfrentando a un movimiento de vida.
We were before a movement for life that had survived the attempts to conquer them by Spain, France, England, the United States, and all European powers, including Nazi Germany.
Incluyendo la Alemania nazi. No les estábamos enseñando a nadie a resistir.
We weren't teaching them to resist. We were becoming students of that school of resistance by those who had been doing it for 500 years.
Lo que pasa es que el EZLN se convierte en un ejército de indígena al servicio de los indígenas.
So the EZLN becomes an indigenous army at the service of indigenous people, and we grow from 6 people to over 6,000 combatants. So what brought about the uprising on January 1st, 1994? It was not an evaluation of the international situation. The Socialist Front had been defeated. The entire Latin American left was going through a period of withdrawal. Mexico's left was grieving the defeat after Salinas de Gortari not only won through electoral fraud, but bought off critical consciousness of a good part of the Mexican left. Nobody in their right mind would have thought that the conditions were right for going up in arms.
Mínimamente razonable nos hubiera dicho, no hay condiciones, no se alcen en armas. Pero hubo algo adentro que hizo...
But there was something internal that made us challenge those conditions. From 1990 to 1992, no children lived past the age of 5 in the Lacandon jungle. Before that age, they died of curable diseases.
Antes de los 5 años, morían de enfermedades curables. En el caso de un pueblo indígena,
in the case of indigenous people, the death of their children means the end of their culture. It was indigenous women who saw their children die who pushed the issue. Everywhere, this rebelliousness could be felt, and the feeling that something had to be done.
A surgir esta inquietud, esta rebeldía, que había que hacer algo. La disyuntiva era muy sencilla. Si nos alzamos en armas, nos van a derrotar.
The choices were clear. If we rose up in arms, they would defeat us. but people would notice and the conditions of indigenous people would improve. If we didn't, we'd survive, but we would die as indigenous people. Therefore, we did a consultation in 1992 where assemblies were organized in every community in order to decide. You all know what happened. I won't tell the story of January 1st, 1994. And a stage of resistance begins whereby we go from armed struggle to organizing peaceful civilian resistance. Something happened in all this process, a change in the EZLN's position regarding the issue of power. We had realized that solutions are built from below. The problem with the institutional left is perfectly clear in Spain with Rodríguez Zapatero and Felipe González. It is clear in the Basque Country, and it is clear in Italy.
Para el País Vasco, para la Italia rebelde tampoco debe ser una novedad.
But in Mexico, there are still those who believe it's possible for the left we have today to take power and govern and remain on the left. Practically all countries in the world can testify to the contrary. Honest people on the left, who when they reach power, stop being so. Besides this position towards power, there is an essential characteristic of Zapatismo, the refusal to hegemonize and homogenize society. We don't desire a Zapatista Mexico or a Zapatista world. We want to be left alone in our place and for us to decide what it is that we want. And we think that it's only possible if other people like us desire and struggle for the same thing, and we establish a relationship of companionship. That's the idea behind the other campaign and the Sexta Internacional. Teniente Coronel Moisés described the meaning of Zapatista autonomy.
Les quiero pues explicar de cómo se está construyendo la autonomía pues para nosotros.
I want to explain how we're building autonomy. We indigenous peoples couldn't understand what the word autonomy meant. Little by little, we began to realize that autonomy was, in fact, what we were already doing. That we discuss things in assembly and we decide together.
Y luego decidimos pues los pueblos en todas las áreas de lo que se está construyendo.
In every area, whether it be health, education, or collective work, things are discussed, analyzed in the communities, and then we decide what we need to do.
Y luego la decisión general de lo que se viene para construir lo que se necesita construir. Y una cosa tan importante es de que no pueden quedar.
And something very important, that is that women cannot be left out. Of course, it has been very difficult, because we have a problem that comes from way back. In the times of the landlords, our grandmothers were mistreated and raped. So our grandfathers tried to protect grandmothers, so they were not seen by the bosses. And unfortunately, it remained that way, where only men meet and the women are left behind.
Que solamente los hombres se reúnen y se fue quedando a un lado las compañeras. Con esta construcción de la autonomía, es como
with the construction of our autonomy, women now in the communities work with the men to solve the problems in the assemblies of the autonomous municipalities or of the good government councils.
Autónomos o en las asambleas generales que hace la Junta de Buen Gobierno. Compañeros, compañeras, van a ver cómo es de la forma de cómo se hace.
Compañeros, compañeras, let me tell you how we practice democracy. The highest authorities are the good government councils. They meet to discuss the work. Then they make their proposals to the authorities of the municipal councils.
O sea, de los municipios autónomos. Y a las autoridades de los mares reúnen a las compañeras y compañeros.
The authorities of the municipal councils in turn meet with the authorities of the communities, and these authorities take their proposals to the communities themselves.
De la Junta de Buen Gobierno salen las decisiones.
There they come up with the decisions. Then they organize municipal assemblies, and then there is a general assembly of the good government council. Only then the will of the people is decided. And the other way around, the communities can propose tasks or laws that need to be implemented. The construction of autonomy differs in the various Zapatista regions, but keeping in line with our seven principles, that our governments must obey and the people command, that our autonomous governments must go down to the communities and not stay on top to command,
Tienen que proponer al pueblo.
They must propose to the people and not impose.
Tienen que construir
lo que they must build and not destroy.
Tienen que representar.
That they must represent, so that what they say is truly the words and the thoughts of the people.
Nuestras autoridades autónomas.
Our autonomous authorities must serve the people and not serve themselves by being authorities.
Y por eso, compañeros, compañeras,
so, compañeros, compañeras, we hope that this sort of practice can be useful to others. Because when the people command, no one can destroy them.
Nadie lo puede destruir.
Caravan will travel through Zapatista communities until August 12. At that point, they will return to their states and countries to publicize what they've seen and heard. But they will also go back to unite struggles, multiply resistance, and continue building a different world. This is Radio Zapatista. Chiapas no se olvida.